Our text today speaks to a weariness that we have sometimes that doesn't always show on the outside. You know, some burdens are obvious. Grief, illness, conflict, bills, long days. But other burdens hide under good behavior. In other words, we're trying to show people a side of us that isn't what we feel right then. You know, people often carry the need to be right, the pressure to keep everyone pleased, the shame of old failures, the fear of disappointing God, and the strain of holding life together. And it's into that kind of world, which is so much our world, Jesus speaks with both truth and tenderness. This passage begins with the generation that can't be satisfied. John the Baptist came fasting. He came with urgency. He came with prophetic seriousness. And the people said he was too harsh. Jesus came eating and drinking and welcoming sinners. And people said he was too loose. The problem was not the style of God's messenger. The problem was a heart that would not respond. Some rejected conviction because it made them uncomfortable. Others rejected grace because it reached people they didn't approve of. Jesus names that resistance plainly. But he ends this passage not with rejection, but with invitation. Jesus turns from the proud and self-protected to the weary and the burdened. He doesn't call them to prove themselves. He calls them to come. He doesn't offer another crushing religious demand. He offers himself. His yoke teaches obedience, but it's obedience shaped by mercy. His way forms us, but it doesn't destroy us. The good news is not that we will be weightless. The good news is that we were never meant to carry the weight without him. Listen as I read, or read along with me in Matthew 11, 16 through 30. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, we all experience times when we're tired in a way that sleep doesn't fix. Oh, we go to bed early, we get 8 hours, we drink our coffee the next morning, but we still feel like we're dragging something behind us. Sometimes the body is tired, but sometimes the soul is tired. And soul tired sounds different. It sounds like I can't keep everybody happy. It sounds like I should be farther along by now. It sounds like if I stop, everything will fall apart. And it sounds like God must be disappointed in me. And most of us know something about that. We know what it feels like to carry responsibilities that are real and heavy. We also know what it feels like to add extra weight on top of them. We carry what God has given us, and then we pick up what fear hands us. We carry love for our families, and then we pick up control. We carry service to God, and then we pick up the need to prove ourselves. We carry repentance, but then we pick up shame. That is the world Jesus is speaking to in this text. The people around him have had every reason to listen. John the Baptist came calling them to turn back to God. Jesus came showering them with mercy and the power of the kingdom. The blind saw, the sick were healed, sinners were welcomed, the poor heard good news. Yet many still wouldn't respond. Jesus compares them to children in the marketplace who refuse every song. If someone plays a funeral song, they will not mourn. If someone plays a wedding song, they will not dance. In plain language, they are impossible to please. John came one way and they rejected him. Jesus came another way and they rejected him too. They didn't want God to be silent, but they only wanted God to speak on their terms. That is still a danger for religious people. We can become very skilled at critiquing the way God calls us. We can say conviction is too hard and grace is too soft. We can say the preacher is too serious, or we can say the preacher is too welcoming. We can dress up resistance as discernment. We can sound thoughtful while quietly refusing to move. Jesus doesn't let that pass. He names the resistance because love tells the truth. Grace is not God pretending that our hearts are fine. Grace is God coming near enough to heal what is not fine. Jesus knows that some burdens we carry are not forced on us by life. Some burdens are tied to pride. Some are tied to the need to control the music, the timing, the invitation, and the guest list. Then the passage turns. After warning, then Jesus prays, and the whole atmosphere changes. He thanks the Father that the truth of the kingdom is not finally grasped by the proud, the self-satisfied, or those who think they can manage God. It is revealed to little children. That doesn't mean God is against learning. It means God resists pride. If you'll remember last week, I talked about the fact when Jesus, typically when he's talking about little children, he's not necessarily meaning kids. He's talking about people new in the faith. And he compares them with children. A child depends. A child doesn't pretend to have cooked the meal. And this is where this begins to loosen up the knots in us. We don't come to Jesus as people who have mastered the spiritual life. We come as people who need help. We come empty-handed. We come with questions and sins and griefs and fears. We come with the truth about ourselves, not the polished version we use when we're trying to look better than we are. And Jesus says, come to me. Not come to an image of yourself that you can finally respect. Not come to a checklist. Not come to a performance that will impress everybody watching. Come to me. That invitation is personal because salvation is personal. Rest is not found in getting every circumstance under control. Rest is found in the presence of Christ. And notice who he invites. The weary and the burdened. Jesus doesn't say, come to me, all you who are impressive. He doesn't say, come to me, all you who have never stumbled. He doesn't say, come to me, all you who have your homes, hearts, calendars, and emotion in perfect order. He calls the tired. He calls the loaded down. He calls the ones who know they can't keep carrying everything this way. And this matters because church people can be some of the worst at admitting weariness. Oh, we know the words. We know how to say, I'm blessed. And yes, sometimes we are. But sometimes we are blessed and exhausted at the same time. Sometimes we love God and still feel worn thin. Sometimes we are serving faithfully and still carrying sorrow. Jesus is not offended by that honesty. He invites it. But his invitation is not just sit down and do nothing forever. He says to take his yoke and learn from him. A yoke gives direction. It means we're no longer wandering under whatever burden shouts the loudest. We are walking with a master. The difference is that this master is gentle and humble in heart. He doesn't crush bruised reeds. He doesn't shame weak hands. He doesn't use fear to keep us close. His yoke is easy, not because discipleship never cost anything, but because it fits the life we were created to live. The yoke of Jesus is lighter than the yoke of pretending. It's lighter than the yoke of bitterness. It's lighter than the yoke of self-salvation. It's lighter than the yoke of keeping score, and it is by far lighter than the yoke of trying to earn a love God has already offered freely. Some of us need to ask what we have added to the load. We may not be able to lay down every responsibility. Children still need care, bills still need paying, work still waits, grief takes time. Ministry asks something of all of us, but we can lay down the burden of being God. We can lay down the burden of controlling every outcome. We can lay down the burden of punishing ourselves for what Christ has forgiven. We can lay down the burden of living for the approval of people who will never be satisfied anyway. That's one of the quiet gifts in the first part of this passage. Jesus shows us that some people will not dance when grace plays, and they will not mourn when truth calls. You can't build your life around pleasing people who refuse every song. John couldn't please them. Jesus did not please them. Why do we think we will? There is freedom in that. It doesn't make us careless. It makes us faithful. We can love people without making their approval our Lord. We can tell the truth without becoming harsh. We can offer grace without apologizing for mercy. We can follow Jesus even when others misunderstand the song. The rest Jesus gives us is not laziness. It is settled trust. It is the soul learning to breathe again because Christ is carrying what only Christ can carry. It's obedience without panic. It's repentance without despair. It's service without self-importance. It's humility without self-hatred. It is knowing that the one who calls us also stays with us. That's the invitation in this passage. Come tired. Come honest. Come without rehearsing all the reasons you should have done better by now. Come with the burden you can name and the burden you can't quite explain. Come with your resistance, your grief, your fear, your pride, your shame, and your hope that maybe grace is still there for you. And believe that hope because it is. Jesus doesn't stand at a distance and say, try harder and then I will receive you. He says, come. The one who reveals the Father shows us the Father's heart, and it is full of holy love. And that love tells the truth, but it also gives rest. That love calls us to repentance, but it doesn't leave us crushed. That love gives us a yoke, but it is the yoke of a Savior who carries us as He teaches us to walk. So come and rest. Not because everything is easy, not because every burden disappears. Come because Jesus is gentle. Come because His grace is strong enough for tired souls. Come because you were never meant to carry life alone. Come because the Savior who calls you also keeps you. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting us with grace today. As we leave this space, help us carry only what you have given us. And help us lay down what fear has placed on our shoulders. Teach us to walk with you, trust you, and learn from you. Let your gentleness shape our words, your humility shape our hearts, and your mercy shape our lives. Send us out rested in your love and ready to serve in your name. It's in your name we pray. Amen.